This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. First, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yes, looking at the US markets, all green. Dow was up 1.5%. S&P 500 back up 1.2%. NASDAQ was up 1%.
And we are going to get some analysis on what's moving markets. We have on the line Tim Mulholland, president at TJM Limited in Chicago. Hi, Tim. Good morning. Although the Fed has offered some clarity on their tapering schedule, which is sooner rather than later, markets have rallied. Now, wasn't the opposite supposed to happen?
Well, I think that maybe some might, but what you're looking at here is talking about interest rates moving higher. Bond yields, 10-year yields are above 1.4%. You know, Monday they were 1.25%, 1.27. But when you take a look at the, let's say, RSP, for example, which is the equal weighted S&P 500, which is up almost 1.5%, and then you look at the SPY, which lagged, that was up 1.2%. That tells you that you're seeing, I think, a rotation back into the growth and not growth, economic growth, or those sensitive to cyclicals, rather, I think, and value. So you're seeing, I think, a redux of what we saw back in probably April, May. I think that's what we're maybe heading for right now.
That's a bit counterintuitive, isn't it? Because, for one, the Evergrande issue in China has not been resolved. And that's, you know, the real estate sector is potentially 30% of China's GDP.
You know, it is. And actually, people talk about the Chinese stock market. There's a very small participation relative to real estate. I mean, it's not even close in China. I think equity investments only barely maybe 15% at best. But I think the Evergrande situation looks like if you're a institutional investor, say the banks that have investments, you know, they're going to get hurt here. The bond yields, though, on the Evergrande debt have traded as high as 60%, and this started back in June. So this really isn't new. But I think what's key here is the Chinese government's not going to risk the economy. So what they want to do is they want the retail sector, the small guy, to be okay, and the homes that were purchased, they're going to. I don't think they're going to stop construction. They're going to restructure this thing probably to an SOE. And they also hired Houlihan Lokey, which is a restructuring firm. So the fact that Evergrande, I don't think it's going to be a systemic-wide event. Yeah, there's going to be some banks that should get hurt, as they should, by the way, in this lending situation. But the Chinese government's going to hold true to form and keep the retail investors shielded and do their best to protect their economy while hopefully reducing some of that outrageous leverage in the system.
Looking at what's happening and the possibility of a U.S. government shutdown and also the debt ceiling, how has this influenced your strategy, or how might this influence your strategy going forward?
You know, the debt ceiling, not so much. I think it really isn't a issue among voters here. It's more of a, and I don't think a political party is going to use it to leverage something from another. Although if it's attached to one of those $3.5 trillion deal or something like a reconciliation, that could be problematic. But I think the debt ceiling will be resolved. I don't think the markets for sure don't see that as a problem. And I think that we'll get through that one. And question is going to be this, the stimulus, they do a reconciliation for that $3.5 trillion package or not. That's still going to be an issue, but I think they're going to resolve this debt issue, hopefully.
So looking at another trend in U.S. equities, they broke a week-long losing streak buoyed by energy-related companies on the Dow. So what's driving the investment thesis for these stocks?
Yeah, well, I think it is. It's that rotation back into cyclicals and value at the expense of growth. And as interest rates rise, I think that trend will be accelerated. As we saw back in April and May. So, but you look at it, it's a bit of, the tech sector still the darlings. I mean, people love what goes up, and my goodness, those have. But, one thing I like to point out, Google and Apple, two great Google, one of the best companies of all time, I think. But a good company doesn't necessarily mean it's a good stock. But those two stocks alone, and I believe with Amazon, let's say three stocks, their GDP is greater than almost Japan and Germany combined, or their market cap is greater than the GDP of Japan and Germany combined. That's not normal in my view.
Yeah, so how much of a concern is that, Tim? Because, obviously the FANG stocks, as much as 20 to 25% of the S&P, what kind of risks should investors be aware of going into the next, 5 or 10 years?
It's a bubble. And stocks have returned 6.5% long term. And this is, I think they're going to, what you're going to see is, I think, I think what you're going to see is major disappointment. Like I said, good companies, but we buy them at a level that is unreasonable, which I would argue this may be unreasonable, especially if bond yields go up. You know, that's why I think it's an RSP, the equal weighted S&P 500 versus the cap weighted, I think is the way to go. And I think we may start to see that. That'd be the trade that I would like, and actually not like, I kind of involved in that one, not outright, but through my portfolio mix.
What about travel-related stocks? How much upside do you see on airline stocks as well as leisure ones like hospitality and theme parks?
You know, I tell you this, the airlines are going to see, you know, a continued huge demand. Question is can they meet the demand with the employment issue here, which is very serious, you know, very serious here. The theme parks and the leisure demand, I think, is going to be very strong. That's evidenced by we opened the college football season 2 weeks ago, officially. Stadiums that hold 90 to 100,000 people, they're full. So I think that tells you that people are going to come to the park. They're not going to stay away from the parks. Now, can the airlines handle the surge and can they get the labor to meet the demand? That's, you know, that's going to be the key to their profitability.
And one final question, Tim, that we'll squeeze in. Revisiting your comments on China, the Golden Dragon China Index is down 30% year to date. Do you think U.S.-listed Chinese stocks are still too hot for investors to touch, or can one maybe be selective?
You know, I have to say, after all my experience in China, and not that I'm going to do as much there as I did a few years back, I'm a little bit perplexed. I think the structure, the VIE structure, variable interest entity structure, that that U.S. investors and foreign investors will invest in, I think those can be problematic because the government can cut that off if they want at any time. And I don't, you know, I can't say that there's no risk there. However, there are some fund managers, very good ones in your part of the world, that know China and I think can really make a play because you can't ignore China. It's too big, and I think they still have too much going for them. You know, maybe the profits won't be as outsized as they are here, but they're still a big growth story and investment in the cheap, cheap alternatives. But I think you need to have an expert, and I would probably like to do it through A-shares, not the ADR or VIE structures.
All right, Tim, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. Have a good start to the weekend. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, speaking to us out of Chicago. Interesting comments that he made there.
Yeah, and Evergrande. I mean, look, I like what he said in terms of what Evergrande is, where Evergrande is concerned. Structured default, take care of the retail investors, deliver those properties, make sure that they're still housed. I mean, there's 90 million empty properties in China alone, you know, enough to house the population of several European nations, whether it's, you know, Austria or Germany or even the UK. You know, according to the FT, real estate is 30% of Chinese GDP. If that slows down, you know, there's going to be huge repercussions for the rest of the world.
So year-to-date, Chinese tech stocks are down. But having said that, you know, the Chinese growth story, you just cannot ignore, right? But I think the question is, you've got to be really selective. I think you've got to like do a sweep and decide which industries the Chinese government may want to touch. I think gaming is quite a clear one. Property, they probably want to tighten regulations from now on. Maybe banking, insurance as well. And who knows, they might even impose some stock market regulations to stop people from over-speculating.
Yeah, common prosperity, right? They don't like the wealth divide. And I think quite rightly so.
So just be careful when you're thinking of investing into China. It's something you can't ignore, but just do it with, you know, a lot of caution, a lot of informed knowledge. All right, looking at some of the headlines coming out, I see here something going on from the White House. According to the U.S. Secretary of U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, the Biden administration is considering invoking a Cold War era national security law to force companies in the semiconductor supply chain to provide information on inventory and sales of chips. So she said in an interview with Bloomberg that the goal is to alleviate bottlenecks that disrupted U.S. car production and caused shortages of consumer electronics, as well as to identify possible hoarding. So they're actually seeing this chip shortage supply as a threat to national security.
Yeah, no, just on the legislation front and the, you know, the whole investigation thing, it's a... you know, it's consistent with Australia's, I think they've got a surveillance law that they're trying to pass through Parliament. And, you know, we've seen the Americas, the UK and the Australians, you know, sign this AUKUS pact to come up against China. There's you know, although they're trying to come up against China, but there's also they're trying to pass legislation which is very similar to China's legislation in terms of just surveying its people. I find it very interesting on the, you know, under the guise of national security law.
Yeah, I mean, it's really national interesting, security. Right? The US has accused the Chinese government for extracting data right? from private companies, but now the US is also likewise doing it. I think the question is, where do you draw the line? So apparently this move is to provide supply chain information. It's actually voluntary. But the government has warned industry reps that they might invoke the Defence Production Act or other tools to force their hands if they don't respond.
Well, vaccination is voluntary, but if you don't engage with the rest of the world, then, you know what I mean? So there's fine lines and then there's grey areas, so...
I think this is an interesting development for the semiconductor players, just to see how different governments are responding to the chip shortage and what they're doing to, I suppose, secure supply for their own companies or, you know, for their own national interests. So we're seeing a national interest come into play into what is a really critical economic sector. It's definitely something to watch. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.